All right, we're going to go a little deeper in our teaching. I don't know about you, but I know for me, my belief system is slowly changing for the good. That is a significant statement for me because of I'm a very pragmatic person, and I often say I was born in Pennsylvania, but I'm from Missouri. It means you got to show me something. Missouri's nickname is the Show Me State. It's funny, in my leadership, I'm taking an executive leadership class, and in that class, the teacher says, pick a Bible character that you most emulate. And I picked Gideon. And I said, it's funny that I share those same qualities that Gideon has. The introvert being called to the front and then uncertain about the calling to the point where he has to fleece. Fleecing is not bad. Don't let people and preachers put you down. You shouldn't be fleecing God. You fleece God. Nothing wrong with fleece. God, listen, God doesn't mind being fleeced because in Malachi he invites you. He said, prove me. Put me to the test. See if I'm trustworthy. And I think about that because as our belief system is crafted by the world, it will be challenged by the Word of God. And we have to, here's where we want to go. We want to go to Hebrews 11. That's our goal, to get you to Hebrews 11. I hope you read it. I've been encouraging you to read it. Read it anyway, even though you won't be able to apply it. Read it anyway. Because you can't have faith if you don't believe. If you don't believe, you can't have faith. If I say to you, tomorrow morning, Monday morning at 10 o'clock, the first 100 people who come here will get a $100 bill free from me just because you came here. But it's only to the first 100 people. You will believe what I say. Come here in faith. But you can't have faith if you don't believe. Because someone will say, no, he ain't giving you no $100 bills. I don't even know how he can afford to do that. He ain't going to do that, so I'm not even going. Now, the people who come to get the 100 will go out, and they will tell the people who did not come, see what you missed? Now, the next time I say it, that person will come. Why? Because our belief system is framed by experience. Someone else's experience has fueled our belief. Therefore, the Bible says we overcome the devil by the word of our testimony. When someone else tells you what God has done for them, it fuels your faith, because if you believe them, you can believe God. Amen. See how simple it is? In Pentecost, we make faith and belief extremely difficult, but it is simple because God doesn't give us anything that is difficult. I think the most difficult thing that God gives us to do is crucify our flesh. And that's a non-theological reality. You don't need God to crucify your flesh. Just do what God says. But that's a whole different sermon that we'll start on around December. Now, go to Romans chapter 10 as we move into pushing our belief system, pushing that envelope, if you will. Now, you've made it through the 4th of July, you've had your ribs and all the other things that have slowed your blood down and clogged your arteries. I was watching a heart health program on public TV, and they were raising money. They're smart now, because they're trying to appeal to the baby boomers. In the old days, when they wanted to raise money, they put music out there. Now they're putting heart programs out there. And I'm sitting there watching this guy, and he's telling a story about his friend. He's a medical doctor. He's FAAC or something like that. He's board certified, and he has this program on heart health, and he talks about plaque in your arteries. Now he's talking to us as a people, because he talks about diet and talks about food, and he mentions a friend of his who had some plaque in his arteries. And as they went in with the wire to do some kind of test, some of the plaque dislodged and went to his brain. And he died. And he said, before he died, his friend told him, he said, please make sure what happened to me doesn't happen to others. And so he set a path to educate people to remove plaque from their arteries. And I mean, he just went over it. I'm going to get the information because as I'm getting it for you, because you're baby boomers. Us, you know, those of us under 40, we don't have to worry about it. But those of you over 50, God help you. But I was looking at that and I thought, wow, you know, it's such a difference. As we grow older, we become more mindful of these temples that we live in. But when it comes to the spiritual reality, we often lose that direction. It is very difficult, not impossible, because with God, all things are possible. It is very difficult to be a Christian in America because your number one competition is not sin, it is pleasure. Satan has stopped trying to get you to sin. All he wants you to do now is get rich and take time, as people say, for yourselves, and then you eliminate God. Now my amens went way down. That's okay. I'm past the point of caring. Now I decided, you know what, Lord, you want me to be a troublemaker. I'm just going to do it. What's the most y'all can do? Kill me, right? Then I go to heaven. All right, in Romans chapter 10, Paul, it's a very powerful passage. 9, 10, and 11 are designed by Paul to provide some degree of encouragement to the Jew who seems to be ostracized or pushed out from chapter 8. So chapter 8, Paul gives this new life in the Spirit to those that are in Christ Jesus, and he pushes Jesus to the front, and all of those people who connect with Jesus, Paul says, they are now the inheritors of eternal life, and they're great. And so if you're a Jew, if you're a seed of Abraham, you're going to feel, as the young people say, some kind of way. You're going to feel that God has disowned you, that you're no longer part of an exclusive community. So Paul, being led by the Spirit, says, okay, in Rome, I have to preach to the unbeliever, chapters 1 through 6. I have to deal with the believer, chapter 7 and 8. Then I have to talk to the Jewish Christian or the Jew who really is kind of teetering between Christ and the law, chapters 9, 10, and 11. Then I have to lump them all together to teach them how to deal with society and each other, chapter 12. And then I have to tell them to encourage each other and receive each other in love, chapter 13. That's the gist of the book of Romans. And so once we get through his dealing with the sinner, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, crucifying your flesh, all those great things, he tells the Christian that you know, you are called by the Spirit, you are in the Spirit, you are spiritual beings, you should walk in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. And then chapter 9, 10, and 11, it reminds the Jew God hasn't forgotten about you. So for some reason, Paul is led by the Holy Spirit to put in this chapter, chapter 10, which is a reconciliation chapter to the Jew. He comes in here and he says in verse 12, now don't you feel bad about your position, because there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Because the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon them. So in other words, don't you worry about your Jewish position. Just because we're appealing to Gentiles, don't feel that God has just abandoned you, because there's no difference spiritually. And so he goes on now, and now he does something here. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's really, this really is not a verse for evangelism, although we can use the law of double reference and make it so. But in reality, Paul was saying, look, you Jews feel like you're being pushed aside, but whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to feel that God's not going to save you because you're not a Gentile. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now stick with me. If you realize that he is speaking to the Jew, this verse makes sense. How shall you call on him if you don't believe that he is who I say he is? Why would you call anybody to help you that you don't believe can help you? You don't borrow money from people who don't have it. That's why you listen to see who has received blessings. And you hear somebody stand up and say, I want to thank God that yesterday, hallelujah, I didn't even know I had this relative out in Oregon, and I got a letter in the mail that they left me $150,000. You write that down. Then you come over and rejoice. Praise God. I'm so glad your relative out in Oregon left you $150,000. You think you can see your way clear to give me five? But if somebody else stands up and says, listen, I need y'all to pray for me. I lost my job. I don't have any more money. My welfare ran out. My unemployment has not been renewed. You write that down. Don't ask them for anything. And so Paul says, you know, how can you call on the one that you don't believe can help you? It goes on, it gets better. And then how can you believe in the person that you have not heard about? Why is hearing so important? Belief system is sculpted by hearing. When I was born, I didn't know anything. I was born. Then at some time, my parents brought me home. I didn't know anything. As I grew, they said, this was your sister and this is your brother. How did I know? I didn't know. I didn't know anything about genetics. I didn't know anything about relations. They told me, this is your brother and this is your sister. And then later on, you'd hear things like, go over and hug your grandmother. I didn't know that. How did I know that was my grandmother? How did I know he was my grandfather? How did I know? I was told. Now watch this. I was told by somebody that I didn't know myself. How did I know she was my mother? She could have found me. How did I know? Now some of you will say, you know, some of you real deep Christians say, well, you know, you get a connection when you're born. And you just feel that when you're born. You would probably be right. But how did I know? How do I know that anybody's anything? How do I know? Because someone tells it to me. How do I know? So Paul says, how can you believe if you haven't heard? So what does hearing do? Shifts your belief. So you should spend your life looking to have your hearing regulated. Don't listen to anything that violates your beliefs. If you believe that God is, don't listen to things that make you agnostic. Agnostic says they're not sure. Don't listen to stuff. Don't let that come in, because the moment it comes in, it creates a middle. It creates a degree of uncertainty. So the more you listen to things that come against your faith, the more you listen to things. Look. Go to Philippians for a moment. Keep your left hand in Romans 10. Take that right hand and move over to Philippians 4. And then take the thumb, because I want to stick with the word. And go to 2 Corinthians 10. All right, you in Philippians 4? All right, Philippians 4, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. Now, why is it important? Now, when Paul talks about this passage, he uses the term keep. the English translation, they translate it keep, but the word is really garrison. It's like setting soldiers. Now, why would God garrison your mind? Why would he need to garrison your mind when we're thinking it's my spirit? What I got in my spirit. No, because the enemy's not attacking your spirit. Your spirit goes back to God regardless of your eternal position. There are two important areas that Satan attacks. One is your soul and the other is your mind. It is your soul that needs to be saved, not your spirit. Ecclesiastes says your spirit goes back to God regardless of your eternal position. That means even if you are not saved, when you die, your spirit goes back to God because it's your life force. But it's your soul that needs to be saved. That's, we'll talk about that hopefully sometime soon. But your mind is what Satan attacks. So God says here through the apostle, be careful for nothing. Don't have anxiety. What is anxiety? Anxiety is your mind producing thoughts that cannot be substantiated by the word of God. Your mind creating an environment where faith cannot survive. Anxiety comes to an undisciplined mind. Indiscipline. A mind that is not pulled in. Why? Throughout the word of God, God admonishes us to teach the word of God so that our thoughts would be centered on him. But the enemy comes to strip you of those scriptural teachings so your mind is all over the place. And Paul says, don't have anxiety, but in everything, take it to God, and the peace of God will garrison your mind. Now, that's important. Now, slip over to 2 Corinthians 10. Now, if you have the peace of God keeping your mind, the devil cannot get through. Now, this is something that's going to help you. Because I want to take power from the devil, and I need you to stop giving him access. How do you give the devil access? By words. Words create the access for the devil. All right. Stop going around telling people, Satan attacking my mind. So, ooh, the devil, he's just coming after my mind. Listen, fire the devil. Stop giving him a job. All right? The Bible says he's an accuser. The Bible says he is a fallen angel. The Bible says his power has been taken from him. The Bible says Jesus stripped him of his authority. Stop giving him authority. Now, how do you give him authority? Here. Devil keeping me up all night. How do you know it's not God keeping you up all night? Devil stripping away all my friends. How do you know God isn't getting rid of people who mean you no good? Before you give glory to the devil, seek first the kingdom and see what God is saying. It's always the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Yes, that's a good statement to make because that is a biblical statement. The Bible said when the devil came to take the body of Moses, the angel said, the Lord rebukes you. But no place in the Bible are we taught that the blood is against the devil. And we say that in a minute, Satan, the blood is against you. Excuse me, if the blood hits the devil, he gets saved. And that fool ain't getting saved. He cannot get saved. You know why the devil can't get saved? Now, some of you say, because God can't reach him. That's a lie. I'm going to tell you why the devil can't get saved. Devil can't get saved because he can't repent. Because he can't be convicted. And there is no forgiveness without repentance. The devil cannot be saved because he cannot repent. And yet we keep putting the blood on him. The blood is not a defense mechanism. The blood's between me and you. No. God gave you another weapon to beat the devil. It's called the word. When Jesus was confronted by the devil in Matthew 4, he did not say the blood's against you. He said, it is written. Why? Because the battle is for your mind. It's not for your salvation. Satan's not trying to take your salvation. He knows, according to the word of God, he can't do that. But he can take away your thought process and make you forget who you are. Listen here. Listen here. Doggone it. We're going to read 2 Corinthians. I done got holy mad now. Y'all sure left me alone. Look at this. Look at this. In 2 Peter chapter 1. My God. Let's show you, I'm going to show you what the devil's doing and the reason why you can't believe God. It's got nothing to do with imps coming to challenge you. See, the devil doesn't mind if you watch 6 hours of television because he knows that your brain is created to absorb and you will become what you behold. You'll start having empathy for certain people on soap operas. You'll start liking the divas of Atlanta. You'll start liking the preachers of Hollywood. You'll start enjoying those things. And then your emotions will start sympathizing with them. You watch stuff long enough, your emotions begin to sympathize. I sympathize with Forrest Gump. I really do. I cry for him. I really do. I do. But I have noticed something interesting. When I watch MeTV, all the old shows that I grew up with, or that were on that people told me about. God. When I watch MeTV and I watch the shows that you guys used to watch, I notice now that I don't feel the same way. I call some things stupid. Why? Because my mind has changed. I'm no longer looking at those things like, oh, that's, now I look at them and say, that's just plain dumb. See there? You're supposed to grow. You are not supposed to feel the same way about things that you felt at 10 years old. You're supposed to question stuff. Why did the Lone Ranger just put 6 45 caliber bullets in that man and not one speck of blood's on the ground? Or better yet, how can he have a 6-shooter and shoot 27 times? I didn't think about that when I was a child. I just ran down to Papa John's and got a cap gun and put a roll of caps in it and just kept shooting. But how is he able to do that with a 6-shooter? Why? Because your mind grows. And so now you have to start asking, how is the devil able to get this access to me? Why can't I believe God like I did when I was a new Christian? Why does it seem like I can't pray the way I used to? What's getting in the way of my prayer? I used to lay before God and feel his spirit 5 minutes in. Now it takes me an hour just to get my praise out. What's going on inside of me? I'll tell you what it is. It's not the devil. There's no demon hindering your prayer. Your mind has begun to fill itself with stuff from the world and it's keeping you from forming communication with God. Amen. Oh, my God, where are we? I didn't switch around to so many passages. 2 Peter, watch this. 2 Peter, verse 3, chapter 1. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby, in light of that fact, we are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be a partaker of the divine nature. See there? You don't have to work up your Christianity. You don't have to try to be holy. You're a partaker of the divine nature simply because you're born again. Now, what I have to do, part of my job, is to teach you how to walk in that divine nature. Children are born with the ability to walk. At some point in their lives, they will believe they can do it. Ability is hindered by belief. They are born with the ability, but you sit them on your lap because you determine that their muscles aren't strong enough and their bones aren't strong enough. But when they believe that they can do it, they pull themselves up and start doing it. And then their belief makes you believe. And then you start going, come on, come on, what? You can do it. Well, that's what God does. God said, I have given you everything pertaining to God and godliness, but you don't believe it. And the moment you start walking in faith, the Holy Spirit says, come on, you can do it. Speak that word. Believe that promise. Go ahead. Raise that hand. Praise me even though you don't feel like it. And watch me, because you finally believe that you are what I said you are. Oh, I wish I had a church that could go with me. Lord have mercy. In Russia, babies are born. They immediately put them in swimming pools in certain towns in Russia. So those babies, they go in the water and they start swimming. You won't do that. See, I tell you, it's hard to be a Christian in America. America, we don't want you to work on your belief. We want you to be hindered. See, let's go on. I'll come to that sometime soon. He said, you have these great and precious promises that have made you partakers of the divine nature. And notice, past tense, you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you see the position Peter just told you? You are partakers of God's divine nature. He builds on what John tells us when John says that you and I have God's seed in us. There is a genetic reality between us and God. We are God's children. That's why if you're God's child, you can't be perpetually sad. Amen. Now understand, you can't be happy all the time. All right? My reality says happiness is a place you visit. Happiness is like Disney World. You visit it. But contrary to popular opinion, as much as I enjoy Disney World, I also look forward to leaving sometimes. Because sometimes you just get tired of living out of a suitcase. And sometimes you get tired of, you know, you just want to go home. You understand? All right, so that's how it is. You can't be happy all the time, so you visit happiness. There are bad situations that happen in your life. Friends die. Sicknesses come. You lose a job. You're not going to be happy. And the Bible doesn't say you should. He said, give thanks. He doesn't say be happy. He said, give thanks. Lord, I thank you that I had the job. Lord, listen, I had to give up certain foods, right? Because, you know, I'm progressing. I'm becoming more mature. And so my body is saying, all right, you can't do certain things anymore. You can't have, you know, the Lee's cheese steak. You can't do all that no more. Okay, fine. I'm okay with it. But here's how I justify. I had my day and I had a pretty good run. I had a pretty good run. Of cheesesteaks and hoagies, and I had a pretty good run. You understand? You understand? So now that day is over. So now I have to glorify Caesar salads without dressing. Now I have to thank God I drive past the Krispy Kreme. I don't put one in my mouth anymore because it's not good for me. Do you realize? But how do I do it? I justify it by saying I had a good run. That season is over. So the devil can't make me feel bad about it because I rejoice that I had a good run. God gave me 20 good years of eating junk food. Now it's time for me to pay back by taking care of his temple. You see, don't let the devil make you look at what you lost. You turn it around and say, thank God I had a good run. Amen. Amen. If your second marriage don't work, thank God I had two marriages. I don't need another one. Glory to God. Don't get all bent out of shape. I praise the Lord. I ain't going to have nobody. Thank God I had two. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to have a fulfilled single life. Oh, God. Marvin Gaye said, mercy, mercy me. He says, you've escaped the corruption. Now watch this. And beside this, beside your position, he says, give all diligence, work hard to add to your faith virtue. So not only do you walk by faith, but you live a virtuous life, a life of cleanliness, a life of integrity. You add that to your calling. Hallelujah. Ooh, I just preached myself happy. You hear what Paul is saying? I mean, Peter is saying, you know what? Not only, it's not good enough for you just to be saved. You see, because you can just get saved and say, praise the Lord, that's enough. No, it's not. You got to add to your salvation virtue. That means you live right. Don't tell me you saved and you still living like a devil. No. When you say you give up everything that does not glorify Christ. I'm not talking about sin as it is. I'm saying anything that doesn't glorify Christ. Because there's some things that are not sin, but God won't let you do it. And the moment God says no, that means that if you do it, it's not glorifying Christ. Christians are now into this. I want to go to a church where I'm not judged. Well, bless God, then you can't go to a Bible church. But the Bible judges me every day. I love these Christians. Child, I read the Word of God and it gets so good to me, I got to close it and walk away from it. Not me. I read the Word of God and He has slapped me, so I close it and walk away and don't want to pick it up for the next 2 days. I've never read the Word of God where He didn't straighten something in my life. He reminded me of my mother. I put my clothes on and think I look good, and she still finds something that has to be. Straighten your belt. My God, I thought I looked good. That's what the Word of God is. Every time you pick up that Bible, He's going to show you something that needs to be corrected. He's going to show you something. You said the wrong thing. You had the wrong thought. You thought bad. You did this. He's not trying to defeat you. He's trying to clean you up. Did you ever go to the cleaners, pick up your clothes, see a spot, and take it back? Well, that's how God is with us. You think you're all holy and righteous because you fell out on the floor, shouted up and down the aisle, they had to wrap you up. But as soon as you get outside, somebody has hit your car and all the devil comes out of you. God says, see there, all that tongue talking in there did not change that tongue that has not been crucified. So I'm going to have to deal with that spot. My God, Ed. To your faith, virtue. And then he goes on to your virtue, knowledge. That means go to school. Stop sitting around talking about the Holy Ghost will teach me. Yes, He's going to teach you through teachers. Add to your virtue, knowledge. Get to know who Jesus is. Get to know what this word says. So that you will not be ashamed of the gospel because you don't know how to properly defend it. Yes, we defend the gospel. Paul says all of us ought to have a reason for the hope that lives inside of us.